WGN, Steve Dale here. It is 2:08. Good afternoon. I have John O'Hurley on the phone, right, from Seinfeld is here. And John, welcome to WGN. Hi, John.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hearing your voice, I am always jealous of that voice. 312-981-7200. You have questions for Jay Peterman? Yeah, you know him as Jay Peterman from Seinfeld. Or maybe some dog questions, because he is broadcasting with David Fry, the national dog show hosted by the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. That's on Thanksgiving Day at 12 noon, all time zones. John, during all of this craziness, what have you been doing?
Well, well, we're ramping up for the show, that's for sure. This is going to be a dog show done differently this year, so we're spending a lot of time trying to reconfigure it, but also delivering on our promise to bring another great dog show, as we have for 19 years.
But this will be a little different, because as I understand it, there'll be no fans, and usually there are thousands of fans watching at the facility in Philadelphia. In addition to that, you'll be broadcasting from one place. David Fry will be broadcasting from another place. The show that is typically one day will be spread out so the dogs and people, more importantly the people, can be spread out over 2 days. Have I got that right?
That's right, but we will be showing it in our normal time slot following the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on Thanksgiving Day from 12 until 2. So we still give you that imprimatur, dogs until 2, then football.
So you are, I've talked to you many different times over the years, and I think I could talk about or bring up any topic. Golf. You can talk my head around golf. If I bring up world history, you know that topic. Probably if I say tax accounting, you know that topic too. You are...
Yes, from all ends.
Yeah, from a distance, I hope. You are truly a Renaissance guy who's done it all in the entertainment business, but way beyond that as a book author, for example. So I've talked to performers who have said, I want to get one role. That's all I want. I want to be known for that one thing. I want to be typecast. Now, most performers don't. They want the opposite of that. With a character like Jay Peterman, if we were to do the 20 most well-known comedic characters in the history of sitcoms, Jay Peterman, I am certain, would be among those. It could have been very easy for you to fall into that trap, but then you said, I want to host a game show. I want to go on Broadway. I want to do this. I want to do this, including broadcast dog shows, of all things. Was it thoughtful that you didn't want to fall into that quote-unquote trap?
Well, I have one premise that I live by, and that is that I trust my imagination. The imagination, those little pictures in our unconscious there that just keep flashing in front of our minds, I live by that. I really do. I don't live by my rational mind. That's always leading me in the wrong direction. But the pictures that my imagination shows me are usually what I'm supposed to be doing. And they're constantly changing and constantly challenging me. So when something occurs to me and my imagination says, well, you need to write a book. So I had never written a book before when I started, and lo and behold, I've written three now. But the same thing with the albums that I compose, my piano compositions. I had never done any CDs before, any or recorded, and I did, and I've got three Billboard albums out. You know, it's just I live by my imagination, and it tells me the correct thing to do, and I encourage other people to do it as well.
I think that's an interesting way of thinking about things, and I think we'd have a more creative world. And it would also lead to happier people, maybe, because more of us, although it's not possible always, I understand, would be doing what we essentially want to do, what our heart tells us to do. Now, John, it's just you and me. No one else is listening. So tell me the truth. Tell me the real truth about Jerry Seinfeld. What was he like to work with?
Well, Jerry always reminded me as kind of a kid from the suburbs that was kind of a tourist on the set. He always had his hands in his pocket. if he pulled his hands out of his pockets, it was to hold a bowl of cereal as he would walk around the set. Jerry's just the normalest of people. He really is, and his observations and his whole demeanor, his onstage demeanor, kind of is bespeaks that. That's the way. That's the person he is. He's not a lot different, which is really wonderful. He's very, very affable, very easy to get along with. I think over the years, because of the fame, that he, you know, is a little bit of a recluse. I don't know that he, you know, walks out and. He's not somebody that, I have no trouble walking around in public, and it doesn't bother me, but I think he's a little bit more of a recluse than some might expect.
How about Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
One of the sweet, probably the smartest, most ingratiating person I've ever worked with. One of the most courageous comedic actresses I've ever seen. She will go down with the ship. To get the laugh. And it doesn't matter what she looks like or how she contorts her body or her face or whatever. She's willing to be unattractive to get the joke. And, you have to go back to Lucille Ball to find another female comedienne that had that type of courage or that type of talent.
You know, interesting. I knew Lucy, and she would say that she was fearless. I mean, she wouldn't compliment herself very often, really. But that's one thing she would say about herself, is that she would do anything, as you point out. All that mattered is it had to be funny. And if it was funny, potentially, then she would make it funny and do anything that needed to be done to make it funny. So it's interesting you say that. How about Michael Richards, who, of course, played Kramer?
Well, you have to go back to somebody like Salvador Dali. Who painted a painting where a watch was dripping over a precipice, that famous painting that he did. And you say, who thinks of something like that? Michael Richards is that type of person. He's an artistic temperament. I mean, a true artistic temperament. No matter what I thought, Michael thought differently, and he had a reason for it. So I would have the most interesting discussions with him on any topic you could imagine. Michael had a take on it, but it was always different than mine, so I always enjoyed our conversations. But it also showed up in the character. I mean, look at those. I mean, somebody who created a single physical move, which is nothing more than a skid stop coming into the middle of Jerry's apartment, and everyone was different and thoughtfully rehearsed.
Interesting. So he would rehearse those differently.
Oh,
so,
like Baryshnikov.
Really?
Like Baryshnikov, and they were never the same. Everyone is different.
That's fascinating. You would have thought that Jay Peterman, the character, would have been written for you because you fit it so well. I want to know how all of that came about. And, of course, I want to talk about the National Dog Show hosted by the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. You know, I hate it when Kisara is right and I'm wrong, but that's usually how it goes. Kisara is my great producer. 219 on WGN, we're talking to, speaking of great, John O'Hurley. You know, John, people know you, of course, from Seinfeld, Jay Peterman, an unforgettable character in a very good way. It seemed like you were Jay Peterman. I mean, it was so believable that I know people who thought this wasn't an actor. This was a guy named Jay Peterman. I mean, that's how good you were in that role.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Like, it's like it was written for you, but I know it originally wasn't.
Well, it was. I had a series on ABC called A Whole New Ball Game, which I got a call one morning from my agent saying, don't go to work. ABC has pulled the plug on the show. That's kind of the way normally you find out. So I went out to dinner that night with my manager, crying in my beer, trying to take the cancellation as personally as I possibly could. And Larry David's office had called and said that we have this guest star called Peterman on the show this week, and we think it's something that John could have a lot of fun with. And we heard his show got canceled. So, anyway, if he wants it, let us know. So I originally I said to my manager, I said, no, I was still licking my wounds over the cancellation of the series, but he never called. And the next morning he called me and said, just get up and go over there and have fun and blow it out of your system. I said, oh, all right. So I went over there, and what they handed me was a copy of the J. Peterman catalog, because they hadn't finished the script yet, which was true to force over there at Seinfeld. They were so disorganized. But so I'm reading the catalog, and I had never seen the J. Peterman catalog before, but it's these long adventure stories about an Oxford button-down. And everything is kind of written in that Hemingway style, these long, and, you know, this kind of prose in a way. And so I really kind of enjoyed it, and I got a kick out of it. And I looked at it, and I said, well, this is kind of like a bad Charles Kuralt and a bit of a 40s radio drama all put together. So that really was the genesis of the character. It was that kind of stylized storytelling, which hadn't really, you know, existed in sitcoms. You know, there really wasn't that kind of lone Irish poet on the cliffs that was trying to do comedy, and that's really what Peterman was. He was the storyteller.
Oh, and no one like you. I mean, that role was just perfect. It was like you were born to play that role, and it turns out born to be David Fry's sidekick. Have I got that right? Sidekick for the National Dog Show.
Joined at the wrist and ankles.
Well, he told me that your wives actually share clothes. So what I want to know, do you guys do the same? No, actually, I don't want to know that. So it's hosted by the Kennel.
No, but I do approve. I do approve what he wears.
Well, you do. Someone's got to. Hosted by the Kennel Club of Philadelphia, Thanksgiving Day at 12 noon. Did you ever think you'd be a dog show broadcast? What is this, your 19th year?
This is our 19th year, and I still haven't killed the show yet. I can't believe this. We do better and better every year. We're upwards of, we get 25 million or so watching the actual show on Thanksgiving Day. And then through the year, we pick up another 7 or 8 million people watching it in reruns. So it's become something of its own success.
So people do stop you on the street. The other reason why you're so noticeable, I know you happen to be like 6'80" or something. I mean, you're a very tall guy. So dog shows, what is it, sir, about dog shows?
Well, you know, people just love their dogs. It's just this, you know, it's the only tangible proof that, you know, that there are angels walking on earth, you know, dogs are just very unusual creatures in that all they do is love us, and that's all they know how to do. There really isn't another example of that quality of life anywhere. And I think that, you know, when people are passing the remote around on Thanksgiving Day, and you happen to stop on the National Dog Show and you see a pair of puppy eyes, you just stop and watch. You just instinctively are drawn to just the good nature of what dogs are.
Well, if ratings mean anything, it turns out you're absolutely right, because the show, as you point out, does incredibly well. Thanksgiving Day, 12 noon, all time zones. John O'Hurley of NBC, thank you so much. It's always good to talk to you.
You as well. Enjoy talking to you, and we'll have another great show this year. I'm looking forward to it.
I am certain you will. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Steve. Always good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.